Good afternoon, everyone. Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council study session of Monday, May 21st, 2007 to order. We do have Councilmember Wayland. Mike, are you hooked up by telephone?
I'm here, Mayor.
Let's do another response. We barely heard you on that one.
I am here.
Okay, thank you. The first item on our agenda is going to be a review of the minutes for, not the minutes, review of the agenda for the May 21st regular council meeting. First item on that will be the minutes. And then we'll hear a presentation to provide direction on transit budget issues. And I know there's lots of people here that want to hear the discussion under number two. So bear with us for just a few minutes and we'll get through item number one. Let's go ahead and bring that up in your packet, if you would, please. Anything on page one? Okay. Page two?
Mayor, if I may.
There is.
Actually, it jumps up right away here on 3A. We've had discussion about the zoning case later on in the agenda, but the applicant has actually requested a continuance of the general plan change as well as the companion zoning case, which is I-15I on your agenda.
Okay, so 3A would be deleted then?
3A and B.
3A and B are deleted.
And then the companion case. And that's kind of the question here that maybe we're looking for the right terminology on whether they're deleted or continued.
Is it going to be reintroduced? Or what are they
yes,
doing?
Mayor. My understanding is that it's going to be reintroduced on July 2nd, and it will be brought to the council for a public hearing and consideration on July 9th.
That's the zoning case, which is 15I, and this is a general plan hearing and resolution. The applicants asked for both to be continued, so this would need to come back on the July 9th meeting.
Okay, why don't we just pull them from this agenda, and then when you get the time frame for sure, we'll introduce them and bring them back as fits into the schedule.
That's correct. We're continuing the zoning case, but we're going to bring them back in the general plan consideration, but we're going to bring them back in July for council.
Vice Mayor.
I don't think we're continuing the zoning case. I think a new zoning case is going to be introduced. What we might be continuing is the minor plan amendment, and that's the question that I have. Should we be continuing the minor plan amendment and deleting the zoning case? Because the information I had was that they wanted to make a few changes. So that would need, they would have to introduce a new zoning, they would have to introduce the zoning case again.
Correct. But whether we don't have to continue to a specific date, council can if it chooses to, or we can remove it from this agenda. There's an understanding that the zoning case is going to be changed somewhat. The zoning ordinance will be reintroduced, and this general plan amendment will be brought back to the council at the appropriate time. At this point, we expect it will be brought back to council on July 9th.
So we can just delete them from tonight's agenda?
Okay. Everything will be reposted for the public so that they will have notice plenty of time when the council is going to consider these items.
Okay. So the items to be removed are which?
3A, right. 3B, 15I.
And 15I. Okay. All right, anything else on page two? All right, page three. All right, on 6A, the town center assessments, I know Councilmember Whalen and I both have conflicts on that one. So we'll declare those. That's why, one of the reasons it's off at least. And that's also true on 6B. Brings us over to page four. Any questions? Page five. Then to contracts. Contracts continued on page six. And I have a conflict on 9G. Been told that there's some asphalt work involved in that. All right. Page seven. Under 10A, the modification of alley abandonment process. There was some talk about the people, and I think about $8,000 had been paid in for people in the past that had abandoned alleys. Now we're not going to be charging if they want to abandon the alley according to the modifications. Seems to be the logical thing would be to refund the $8,000 if you could figure out who paid the fee, thinking that it was an ongoing process if we have changed our policy, or at least like to have a little bit of discussion by council on whether they think that's appropriate or not. Yep. I think I'd be a little ticked if I paid a fee and abandoned my alley and helped the city out, and then all of a sudden they changed their policy. But
I think the fee, at least initially, Mayor, was just to cover the administrative costs. And what we're suggesting now is that we not charge for that full cost recovery of staff time.
You're not charging anything for it. They file for it. Yeah, right. So right. Those people that already paid, why don't you give them their money back, is my suggestion.
Yeah. Our initial fee really was just trying to represent the cost for staff to do it.
Understand. But I just think there's a fairness issue there because of the timing. If somebody had not abandoned the alley and waited a year, they wouldn't have to pay anything to have the same end result. So just for discussion. Scott.
Out of curiosity, how was that paid? Did they pay that directly to the city, or was there somebody in the neighborhood that put together a collection and then paid it in bulk? We have no idea. We just...
Assessment per house might be hard to get back.
I don't even want to go there.
Yeah. Mayor, Council, my name is Susan Verboda. I'm with the Neighborhood Outreach Office. The $8,300 that was collected, that was stated in the report, from 1986 to 1995, approximately $3,300 was collected, and from 96 to 2005, $3,600 was collected.
There was a question of how did the collections take place? Did they go up and assess everybody on the street and parcel it out, or is there one person responsible that paid for it, or how did the monies typically come in? Do you have any clue or guess on how that would work? And I'm getting at, is there any
list.
Logical way or list to return the money if we desired to do that, or is it a moot point to even have the discussion?
It's possible that it was collected in all of the above ways. In other words, it's the neighborhood goes through a petition process to collect the fees. If they do that with everyone contributing to what they can afford, if they do it equally amongst everyone, if they do it one person just contributes because they're the ones that want to have it done, I don't believe, and I'll defer to Doug, but I don't believe there's one way to research as far as exactly where the money came.
Right, and I don't want to spend more than $8,300 in fees to return it. I mean, in staff time and everything else.
Mayor, it was usually paid by one person collecting on behalf of the neighborhood, and we probably could refund most of it, maybe not all of it, but I'm sure we can go back far enough and refund it if that's what you want to do.
Right. And I would like to do that, but I don't know if there's any other concurrence.
Maybe I should clarify that. We can probably find the person refund it to who paid us. I don't know that they can find the people that paid them.
And I don't want to make the guy rich by $300 either. If he can't find anybody inadvertently, they all moved, or he's not really anxious to go look.
Yeah, I mean, not only we may not be able to find that person, but if we do, we certainly can't compel him to find everybody else, and so there is the potential for a windfall. This is a policy that was in place for 20 years. It's not something that we're just changing, for one, because last month we changed it, now we want a refund for 1 month. We're talking about 20 years of refunds, public policies change. I just don't see it as an appropriate thing to do a refund for. I think it's logistically impossible, and I'm not sure that it's practical or appropriate.
Okay, Scott.
And the purpose of my question is simply find out if that was logistically even possible to make that refund, and if it was, then we could pursue that. I don't think we can go there.
Can we move forward with modifying the alley abandonment process, which I am in favor of doing for the future? Can you do a little bit more work on that to see how complicated it would be? And just let me know, and if it's something I'd still like to pursue, I'll throw it on a study session for discussion.
Yes, we can do that.
All right. Okay, that's page 7. Page 8, introduction of ordinances. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I have a conflict on 11D, and then I'm going to have the same conflict on page 10 on number 14.
All right. Page 14?
I'm sorry, number 14.
No.
Sorry, page 10, number 14.
Okay, all right. Okay, it's page 8. Tom?
I want to go back to page 7.
All right.
11, A and B. There's two versions on here because of my
request. I see no reason for the council to send both of those to the meeting in 2 weeks. I mean, we can vote tonight if there is not. I just didn't want anybody to feel like they had to vote for 11A if they didn't feel comfortable with 11A, just to get it on the agenda, because having it on the agenda tonight fulfills my purpose. So I just wanted, I'll probably make a motion for approval of 11A, and then we'll see whether there's a second and a vote. And
if it doesn't
pass, if it's not, then we go to 11B and put something on the agenda. Whichever one gets introduced.
Yeah. He caught that, I'm sure. That little slip. Okay.
We judge it again, are we, Chris?
I was being very careful not to.
Yeah, I can count.
All right.
At least five.
All right, that's page. All right, we're on page 8. Anything? Page 9. I've heard that 11G, let's go ahead and place that on consent. I think it was just inadvertently didn't get a star. Unless somebody has an objection to that, let's read 11G into the consent.
Yeah, yes, Mayor, we had modified this agenda item from before, and you're right, we can certainly add this for consent. It was new, and that's why what showed up this way. So.
Right, and I think one other item that we had was eliminated.
There was a packet of other issues related to this one, yeah.
Mayor?
Okay, yes.
If I might, on item 12D, I handed the council a memo late this afternoon. There's a couple typographical errors that were found in the development agreement, and because council's being asked to approve the development agreement, we at least wanted, the council needed to know that there are word changes being made to the agreement. They're insignificant, and they're included in your memo tonight.
All right. Should we make reference on, well, it's on the consent so far. Should the consent agenda reader note that, or?
I can read it into the record right now. I also gave the clerk a copy of the memo, but I'll read it. Section 3.6.25, the words such as are being deleted. And in section 3.6.3.3, the comma after the word uses is deleted and replaced with a period.
Okay.
Thank you.
Important to get those commas and periods in the right spot. Right? All right, that puts us on page 9. All right, let's try 10. And Claudia, let's see, you had number 14, okay. Yeah, 15A was the one I had some questions on. I see it's been deleted, so we're fine. Okay, page 11. Page 12, zoning cases still. And page 13. And page 14. Tom.
Mayor, just to go back to page 9, item 13, it's on consent, and I want to leave it on consent. This is just introduction, I think. There's adoption of a notice of intent of raising utility fees. We've all sort of come to the consensus that we don't make big deals out of the introductions of the notice of intent. By voting for this tonight, it doesn't imply that I'll vote for the fees increases on whatever night they're introduced, June 25th.
All right. Okay, any other comments on the
Mayor.
Items? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Whalen.
Just ensuring on 12B that property sale, it still has to come back for rezone. There's nothing in the development agreement that talks about granting any rezoning.
That's the 2500 or 225 block of West Vine Avenue?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the understanding on that as far as the zoning that's currently there and the sale with the zoning? I assume goes with the existing zoning. I can't remember what it is. The city bought it, but I don't know if we rezoned it.
Mayor, the current zoning is basically R2. There's one small piece that's M1. We're selling it with the zoning in place. There's no promises of rezoning. The buyer has to go through any development plan just like anybody else would.
Okay, and that's a site right next to the Boys and Girls
it
Club.
Is.
Yeah.
This was,
you know, the
all that R2.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thanks, Mike. Any other questions, comments? All right, let's go on to item number two. Hear a presentation, discuss and provide direction on transit budget issues. And I appreciate everyone's attendance so that you can hear the comments and deliberation. Martin.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, pleasure to be here this afternoon. Back again to talk a little bit about this issue, really to provide some background information to you as you consider how you want to proceed forward with this issue. As you'll recall, we've come to Council back in March and April and talked about the transit budget. We're here today to respond to several questions that were raised at that meeting and to present the different alternatives that were discussed back in April, and then also to discuss and receive direction on transit service options and potentially hold a public hearing on the transit budget. Alternatives. This next slide talks about the different alternatives that we talked about last month. Alternative number one is to make no transit cuts for fiscal year 07-08. And the idea here is that with additional funding that's coming in from the region in 08-09, we have a one-year budget shortfall that we deal with this one year. But alternative 2A is to eliminate Saturday bus and dial ride service. Alternative 2B is to simply eliminate Saturday bus service only. And alternative 3 addresses the issue of implementing the federal minimum requirement for dial ride, which is the 3/4 mile rule, and providing service to people that live within 3/4 mile if they're an ADA qualified customer. These next slides really talk about each one of these alternatives individually. This first slide talks about alternative number one, which is to make no transit cuts. And again, just as a brief quick reminder, we would fund dial ride for fiscal year 07-08, next fiscal year, with the $1 million shortfall. This is funded in the proposed city budget with one-time funds, and then Prop 400 funding would eliminate the funding shortfall in fiscal year 08-09. And those funds come from the region picking up two routes, Southern Avenue as well as Dobson Road. Alternative 2A then is to eliminate both Saturday bus and dial-a-ride beginning September 1, 2007. You can see the impacts here. The cost savings associated with eliminating bus service on Saturday is $0.95 million, just under $1 million. The savings from eliminating dial-a-ride is just under $500,000, $0.43 million. Impacted bus riders, 5,000 to 6,000 riders, 156 dial-a-ride trips average on Saturday. Also impacts bus routes serving Tempe, Chandler, and Gilbert. And the public input process that's required could be implemented September 1st of 2007, and thus and potentially service could be restored 10 months later in July of 2008 with the additional regional funding. Alternative 2B that we talked about previously is to eliminate Saturday bus service only beginning September 1, 2007, and again the impacts are just under $1 million in cost savings. 5,000 to 6,000 bus riders impacted, impacts routes serving Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert. We talk again about the public input process. Service, again, could be restored in 10 months. Additional note, we currently don't have service on Country Club Drive. This was eliminated a few years ago and never restored. Get a lot of phone calls on that, just as a side note. Alternative number three, implement the federal minimum dial-a-ride. And again, this is to only serve 88 qualified citizens living within 3/4 mile of an existing bus route. That's the federal minimum. The cost savings associated with that is $586,000 for the remainder of the year. That's an estimate. And then again, a public input process would be required that could be implemented effective September 1. And then as an additional note, RPTA is currently conducting a regional study on paratransit, which includes a review of our current dial-a-ride program, and changes are pending, resulting pending that the completion of that study. A response to a question that came up previously, question about dial-a-ride and whether or not Mesa is responsible to serve county islands that are within 3/4 of a mile of a bus route, and the answer to that question is yes. If it's within 3/4 of a mile of a corridor, then it doesn't really make any difference where jurisdictional boundaries are. You have to provide that service if it's within 3/4 of a mile of an existing bus route. And then again, here's the map that we showed previously, which shows the areas that would be served and not be served. The areas that would continue to be served are in yellow. Area that would not be served is in blue because it's outside of that 3/4 of a mile requirement. This next slide summarizes the dial-a-ride budget over the last couple of years, and basically what this shows is that the cost to the city for dial-a-ride has been pretty much cut in half over the last 2 years. We spent $2.19 million in fiscal year 04-05, and moving to today, to this year, to fiscal year 06-07, the cost to the city is $1.1 million, and the reason for that is that the region's picking up 2/3 of the cost for ADA dial-a-ride service as a part of Prop 400. In terms of the timeline, alternative number one, the funding would be adopted in the city budget if that's the decision. Alternatives 2A, 2B, and or 3 involves the public input process, starting with sending or having a public meeting, getting the notices out by May 30th, hold the public meeting the week of June 18th. City Council then on July 9 would make a decision, then a 30-day implementation period, and implement the cuts, if that's the decision, on Monday, September 1st, 2007. And that's it.
Okay, questions? Councilmember Jones.
My first question would be then for alternative one, Chris, do we have a source of money to fill the gap for that first year?
Mayor, Councilman Jones, funding, the one-time funding, has been included in the proposed budget. So the question is really what wasn't included in the budget as a result of this funding. And when you look back in the way we made some decisions this year in the budget, some of the things that we were looking at that we, you know, from a priority standpoint internally, where we kind of allocated these dollars out of, was we really we've set aside some dollars and probably need to do more, and we wish we could have done more on things like, especially in our computer network and infrastructure area. There's some areas that we know are coming up that we need to start addressing that we haven't been able to do. But really the kind of backup to that is one of the things we've done. This is the staff priorities, not necessarily council. One of the things we've said is, though, that we may be able to fund those still, but we wanted to wait and see. We've set aside some dollars to see, to make sure the sales tax receipts perform as expected, and we'd wait, make that decision much further into the year before we would make that allocation. But I mean, there's a whole variety of things that we would have otherwise funded that we've, you know, maybe not have been able to do as a result of this. But it's just, again, it was a priority process, and just in order to give the council opportunity to have this discussion and move it along, that's how we tried to find some allocation of dollars, and that's probably the best description of maybe where those dollars would have come from.
So to, in simplicity, go with alternative one, then you've identified dollars to make that happen, to fill the gap until the Prop 400 money kicks in, and so there would be no change.
Right. My answer would be very different if this was a recurring.
Right. If it were recurring, it would,
much different.
Wouldn't be able to identify it.
We're essentially deferring some things or waiting to make sure that our sales tax dollars perform before we can move forward on other things.
And these are just one-time dollars to fill that gap.
That is the identification. These are only intended to be capital or one-time dollars.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Whalen, did you want to have any comments on this?
I'm supportive of alternate one, Mayor.
Okay. Let me ask a question on the slide that I have, slide number 10, dial-a-ride budget summary. According to the chart, the region's picking up 2/3 of the cost, as you indicated. What's the policy on that? Is it a certain dollar allocation, and when the money is gone, you stop delivering service? Or how, if the region had a huge increase in dial-a-ride calls, how would they have enough money available to accommodate them? How's the split go?
Mayor Dave Boggs from RPTA is here today, and Dave, if you want to answer that question?
Why don't you come on up here so we can catch you on the mic? You can wave to your friends in Mesa here.
We got the big guns out.
Yeah, thank you. All right. And this is how I believe this works valley-wide with the Prop 400. Each of the cities are allocated 7.5% of their total Prop 400 dollars can be used for dial-a-ride. If you exceed that amount in your local jurisdiction, then that becomes your responsibility. But basically, there's a formula of about 7.5% that is available to you on dial-a-ride, and I'm sure that's where these dollars are coming from.
Okay, because so
if you exceed that, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, if you exceed that, then that would be a responsibility of the local jurisdiction.
All right, and so next year, or you said there's not a problem if we do alternative one in 07, 08, does that mean a different percentage is coming in, more money? And is it substantial enough to guarantee that the ridership increases can be accommodated?
Mayor, each year the amount that's allocated to the city of Mesa goes up. I think next year it's about $2.4 million, so it goes up about a little over $200,000 for next fiscal year, and it does that each year after that. So I do believe that's going to be sufficient to cover our expenses. Right now we're spending $1.1 million. Could it be a few dollars more than that? There's a potential that could happen. We don't get an estimate on what our dial-a-ride expenses are going to be from RPTA until that prior to that fiscal year, usually around February.
Right.
But I would imagine that it would be very similar to what you're seeing here on the screen.
Well, I'm challenging the assumption that this is a one-time only, and that if we do this, Prop 400 will be sufficient monies to do it. That goes from, and again on chart 10, if this 2.21 million is what we're getting in 06-07, if it goes up to 2.4, that's $200,000, and I thought we were a million short. So how is it going to fund the shortfall? Do I have the wrong numbers here, or?
Well, in fiscal year 08-09, the region will pick up two of our routes, Southern Avenue and Dobson Road. So that really the additional funding is coming because the region is picking up some of our bus routes that the city is currently paying for.
So you're combining bus rides routes with dial-a-ride to get the extra dollars
exactly.
To shift over. It's not dependent just on dial-a-ride.
Exactly. And it, you know, as a practical matter, just about every year for the next 5 or 6 years, the region is going to pick up one of our routes. I think once they fund all of our routes, the city will only fund two routes, Mesa Drive and Stapley Drive. And all the other 8 or 9 routes are funded by the region. So over time, the city will only fund two.
Right. And that was a concerted effort by some mayors. I know I went forward trying to get the region to pick up as many as possible and having it a regional system as opposed to just Mesa routes that weren't, in some cases, quite as connected to the region as the others were. I personally am more in favor of an alternative three where we do what's required by federal law and we encourage those people that want to use the dial-a-ride services to select their living accordingly to being along routes that provide those type of services. So that's why we're not taking public comment right now. Whoever's interrupting, if you could refrain, please. So that would be my statement, and I'd like to hear other council members' comments on this period. Tom?
Yeah, I have two thoughts. Number one, I'm a little uncomfortable with the margin. If we pick up $1,050,000, which is what I see being projected for the cost savings from the Southern and Dobson Road routes, and our share is $1,000,001. We're already $50,000 short next year. And then if we start, if the extra $200,000 doesn't cover the increase in the dial-a-ride usage in 08, 09, then we're going to be looking at every, as I understand it, every dollar above that $2.4 million is our responsibility. And so then we're going to be in a position where I don't think we're really talking about just one-time dollars. I mean, I understand what you're doing, and I'm a little concerned, particularly with the uncertainty of exactly what would have been funded with this $1 million if we didn't put it into the transit. But I'm also sort of piggybacking on your concern about this may not be just a one-time thing. I'm concerned about what happened to the dial-a-ride numbers with the ADA ones when we eliminated senior dial-a-ride. I suspect more and more people are going to get knowledgeable about how to utilize that system. I understand the region's trying to implement some procedures to make sure that people are eligible, but I think you're still going to see more and more people trying to funnel into that system. So I'm not sure that our $1,050,000 and the region's $2.4 million is going to be enough in 08-09. So I think we're going to be here again. That's sort of the practical approach. And then the second issue that I have also piggybacks on what the mayor said at the last meeting, which is the question becomes whether or not this is an entitlement or not. And I don't believe that it is. I know it's nice to say, well, the city needs to fund this, or you need to fund this. But the reality is that we're asking taxpayers to fund this. We're asking other people to divert their money from whatever it is that they want to use their money for to provide these services. And I have never believed and don't believe today that those are an appropriate function of government. I will say, in all honesty, I have no idea, cannot imagine, can't even begin to comprehend what it's like to be disabled. And I, but for the grace of God, I bless God that I don't. I don't know how I would react, but I don't believe that I would ask other people to be forced to use their money to provide me with transportation. So I prefer option 2A or B. I think 2B gets us the money for this year. 2A probably gives us a little better margin for the next year as well, but I'm not in favor of alternative one.
Okay, other comments? Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to go with alternative 1B. I know you're all looking for it, aren't you? I understand all the concerns that you've expressed about the costs going up. I certainly share them. I have talked about this for several years now, about my concerns about our not addressing the root problems with transportation issues in our country. And the fact that we do not allocate transportation dollars the same way we do with other human service dollars. If you were getting assistance with food, we give you a certain number of food stamps, and then you make choices. We have no ability to ask people to make choices that they are capable of making to take a cheaper ride. Some people are not. They are disabled to the extent where they can't make a choice other than dial-a-ride. They need the extra assistance that goes along with that. But we are not able to force them to make those less expensive choices. And I think that, frankly, I think that the system is wrong. It's flawed in that regard because it does not require people to make transportation dollar choices in the same way. So I think that there's a flaw there. On the other hand, I look at what's happening, and I'm concerned that you lose the bus service and you have people who aren't able to make it to their jobs. They have jobs, many people, for a variety of reasons, not just because they're disabled, but because perhaps they have never learned how to drive, perhaps they can't afford to buy a car. They rely on the bus in order to be able to get them to their jobs, and they've made choices based on their employment, based on where our buses are. If I will say that if this were not a one-time dollar thing, I would be looking at the public hearings and making the cuts. I don't think we would have a choice. But the one-time dollars, I'm okay with. The 1B part of this is to announce right now that if we come up short, I'll be looking at the three-quarter mile distance and let people know today that I'm sorry, we're put in this position up here of having to make some very unpalatable choices. As one of my friends once said to me, you're choosing whether or not you're going to feed your mother or feed your child. And sometimes that's what happens with these choices that we're making. So as we go through this year and we're looking at these numbers, and we all know that gasoline costs are going up, I don't think that the comments that Mr. Rawls has made or that the mayor has made are unrealistic comments. I think they're real. I think that our margins are very thin here. So I will be looking, that's my next step, is to look at the 3/4 mile distance. It isn't my preference, but I think it's the next place to go. So I'm supporting 1B.
If, how much in advance would we know into next fiscal cycle whether it was coming up short in order to make the change to the 3/4 mile to stay within budget? Is that something that's forecastable as we move forward and see a trend? Or do the public hearing process carry you way beyond the implementation of those cutbacks? You looking for help?
Yeah. The staff is telling me about 6 months into the year is about when they think they would know.
We will start to notice the trends at 4 and 5 months. I like to get to 6. Gives us a little confirmation on what we're seeing for the fiscal year.
Okay. And then if we wanted to change, what's the process of public hearings and such that you need to go through, and how long would that take?
It takes, as it does here, I think we're looking at almost 3 months, 2.5 months to get through that process before you actually implement it. You know, the big issue is giving 30 days once the decision's made before it actually takes effect. That's what drives a lot of the process. We could actually cut that back a little bit if we choose to.
Okay, I was just saying if it was practical to make an adjustment into next year if that was the trend that was being set. All right. Other comments? Need to hear from the rest of you. Scott, you go first.
I'll just reflect upon what Vice Mayor Walters has said, because I agree with that, and I will support one, but I'm not going for the B stipulation. Because when I look at this map on slide number 9, I can count at least, let's see, Fountain of the Sun, Sunland Village East, Sunland Springs Village, or 3 retirement communities in my district that wouldn't be served. They already don't have bus service. They'd be outside that 3/4 mile, and we have some folks that need to get the doctor's appointments, employment, and a myriad of other health-related issues. I think what will end up happening on this one, if I'll make another prediction, is we start cutting dial-a-ride services and the transportation options available, we end up picking it up somewhere else in EMS, mm-hmm. because the fire department's going to roll every time there's a prescription runs out and they start having trouble breathing. There's going to be, they can't get to a doctor's office, there's going to be more demand on an emergency room. Now, to what extent that will happen or how many times that will happen, mm-hmm. I can't quantify. I can't even begin to imagine. So I'm going to support 1 and look for the numbers. Please keep in mind, however, the mother and the child analogy, I think, is pretty sound. We could very well be back here in another 6 months if the numbers don't work out, and we will have very little choice but to make some cuts if the math does not work. So I'll be in support of 1. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Griswold.
One of the problems with Dial-A-Ride, it's a great program made for people that are handicapped, that cannot take a taxi, cannot take a bus. They're in a motorized wheelchair. You cannot lift in and out of the back seat of a car. We have other programs. We have Ride Choice, where you can buy, I believe, for $10, $15, $100 of the taxi vouchers. We'll pay neighbors to drive you to doctor's appointments and back. It doesn't work if you have a large motorized vehicle or wheelchair. That's the problem. That's what the system was aimed for. What's happening is that we have $33 one-way ride cost, uncapped. Anybody now almost can get on the program. If your doctor signs you that you're older, you're on there, and it is bankrupting the program right now. I don't know the solution. I can see it for 9 months, 12 months, but I think we're going to be back here in 1 year going through the same thing, B, C, whatever it is. Unless the state or the county put some caps on this, just like, you know, the ride choice, the taxi vouchers. You know, $100 of taxi vouchers, you decide how many trips you're going to take, when you're going to take them, and you use them the best you can, and you line up everything and you do it. the system right now is about ready to implode. It's, if we don't, we, all we're going to do by postponing it 1 year is postpone this decision 1 year. Now, I'm willing to do it, and the transportation director tells me it's going to work. So, you know, I'm, if he's willing to put his job in line for it, I'm willing to to survive and say that I'll go with one.
Jeff,
I'll tell you, in 1 year, if it's not working, I'm going to be real asking some hard questions, because I'm giving information here that says in 1 year it will work. We'll get through this. We'll go. So I would expect the transportation director to be the one sounding the alarm 3 to 4 months into next year, loud and clear, and not get blindsided if we're over the budget. We're over $500,000 right now overspent on this program. It is bankrupting the entire bus system. We're looking at closing down the bus system, which has nothing to do with Dial-A-Ride. Dial-A-Ride is the one that's bankrupting the system. So I will go with one tentatively, but in 1 more year, we're probably going to be sitting here and going to the same thing, unless we find new revenue sources or a better way to allocate the scarce resources for Dial-A-Ride.
Okay. Let me ask a question from the city manager here. We're looking at one program that has had cost overruns from budget, and we're trying to figure out how to fix that, hopefully long term, and it sounds like the Prop 400 money matches up with the service requirements, we may have it. What else do we have so that I can look at the budget holistically that might be other programs that have not met our budget forecasts that are going to need additional money so I can prioritize, you know, where we put the funds? I mean, you mentioned the computer network is a option, but I'm thinking more of other programs that promised to deliver session didn't.
Right. Mayor, thank you, Mayor. If we make that distinction, and we'll be briefing the council on Thursday, I believe, on some of these others that we have, where we have where we had groups or agencies that represented that they were going to be able to provide a certain level of funding to assist with certain programming, I think of the Arts Center and things like that, and maybe they weren't able to raise the sufficient funds. We're doing those. The differences on most of those, what we've done is we're either making those adjustments now somewhere in the budget, or we're going to be we're reducing the budget for next year. So we have some of those, but we've tried to deal with those internally in time. You're going to have a briefing on the Human Services Fund. Certainly there's a group there also that the expectations of how that arrangement was set up as far as paying for utilities, that's something council's going to have to deal with, is whether we're going to continue to provide that subsidy or are we going to require the agency to be responsible for those differences. This by far was the largest one where we kind of had this the shift in the users, and it created the differential in the prices. By far was the largest one, obviously, that we dealt with. And again, we saw it was the senior Dial-A-Ride transitioning to Dial-A-Ride. The others really don't even come close, because they were in areas, Mayor, that I found out today. We're trying to make those adjustments now. So in the holistic budget out of that department, we're going to try to keep it balanced. So we're making those adjustments here. You know, we came to the council early to talk about, well, how would we cut $500,000, and we decided to wait until now. And this is somewhat unique. Chuck, am I missing anything? Is there anything else out there that you can think of similar where an outside agency or group or?
You've got the three items that we have been looking at, and this is by far the largest single item. We are looking at some funding on the senior center on utilities and Mesa Arts Center, but we're adjusting expenditures on that.
Yeah,
side.
We're able to adjust those probably easier than we would here.
Okay, because I know everybody wants to look at it holistically. We're looking for a potential action item, and you don't want to make an action item here and then say, well, wouldn't have done that had I known we had this coming. So that sure. Was the nature of the question. Tom?
That actually raises an issue that I don't know if you can go this far back, Jeff, but at some point when you knew, before we knew that the senior Dial-A-Ride was going to break the ADA Dial-A-Ride system this year and next, we knew we were going to get this $1,050,000 from the region taking over those two bus routes. What were we going to use that money for before? before we knew we were going to have to use it to keep Dial-A-Ride afloat, what ideas did we have for the use of that money?
Well, I think we've gone over this just a little bit. I don't know if you want me to answer it, Jeff. But I didn't know about the reduction prior when we did the forecast. So actually, that is going to be alternative money out into the future. We'll have to make the decisions based on that programming. But I didn't have that programmed in. So this would be a trade out of dollars.
None of the regions taking over the bus routes.
I was
for each of the sequential years out for the next four.
I'm very aware of it now, and I've got the program, and we'll have that in our new forecast.
Okay, so we're not at least three moving away from something that we thought we were going to need. I know we are.
It's a very good question. We had this discussion before, and that's a very good question. Yeah.
Okay.
Good question.
That's actually the first part of good news we've had then.
We missed something on the, and it was just being conservative.
We missed it on the right side.
Right, no, and that's, I think that's something we would want to err on sides like that because, and frankly, I agree with the council, it's a little nervous to think that the boat will come in, you know, in July, theoretically, and so we're very cautious, and I think our commitment to the council is we'll monitor the trends on the usage. And as soon as we know the number that we're getting from the funding from the region, we need to make sure that matches up with the numbers we're seeing. So we'll try to make sure to provide those early warning systems as soon as we can. So we're not, again, we talked about this some months ago about the 1.5, and we'll maybe even try to get the council even sooner than that. So if we need to make any corrections or changes have been suggested here, then we give the council the flexibility to initiate the public hearing process so those changes can be made.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, one of the concerns that I have is that as we move forward, that each year we have the potential for, as each new bus route gets picked up, that the additional cost of Dial-A-Ride grows and grows and grows, and it gets picked up by that bus route money. And the concern I have, once again, is that we wait and delay the holistic adjustment of this. Now, I know that you're working on this, Jeff and Dave, that you're working on this and looking at people's qualification for ADA, but that's only one piece of it. And this other piece is really a federal piece, and it's a piece that needs to be addressed. I'd like to think that we are not the only people who are out there talking about this. And the last time I was visiting with our representatives in D.C., it felt like we were the only people talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think we need to get other people talking about it because it is not a MESA problem. It is a problem.
Okay. Councilmember Jones.
And as we proceed with this discussion and talking about, we're well aware of the strain on the Dial-A-Ride. It's going to implode if something doesn't happen to curb it. But I want to frame it a little bit differently in that we have a room full of folks who are mobilized to come out here, and I want to put the onus back on them. If we're going to not have this discussion year after year, the Dial-A-Ride expenses need to get brought under control and need to be policed very carefully so that we save the Dial-A-Ride for those who desperately need it. And I think we're here talking about the dollars that we can expand, what we can put on it. But I think the users need to be self-policing and monitor who's using and who could use an alternative so that we can keep this in line so we're not back here having this discussion year after year, because if it continues to expand the way it has been, there's no way we can fund it, and it will be cut. There won't be an option. So if we want to try and avoid that and put it off, I think the onus really needs to go back on the users to make sure that we optimize those dollars that are available to use this service.
Okay. I'm getting the read that there are at least five council members that like either alternative 1 or a 1B modification to that. So why don't we proceed accordingly, and if that is the case, there would be funding for next year's program, so we would not have to go to the public hearing process to make the cuts. Any other comments on this item then? Councilmember Whalen?
I concur.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. And I appreciate everyone's attendance to hear the discussion.
Thank you.
All right. Item number 3 is hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended.
Anyone have any updates?
Tom. Mayor, I just want to take a minute to say that during the Mesa United Way Awards luncheon on Thursday, when I was acting as silly as I have in a very long time, an opportunity came up to make a joke that I instantly jumped on that was probably a little out of line, and I just want to state publicly today that I am and have always been very impressed with both the competency, the commitment, the competency, the dedication, and the skills of the Mesa employees. John Giles set me up. I fell for it. But at the same time, I wanted anybody who was offended by that joke, and it was meant only as a joke, to know that it was a joke and that I deeply respect and appreciate everything that the employees of the city of Mesa do for us. Thank you.
I had heard that, and I thought that you were impersonating a guy that didn't have a brain that day, so I thought you did it.
I'm not sure it was an impersonation. When it came to that particular statement, I think it was unfortunate, and I do apologize.
Yeah, they knew I didn't have a heart, so it was okay. All right. Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I guess I need to get tape on that. Yeah. I was out of town for my niece's wedding, and I was waiting to see, you know, what that looked like. Tom, you've always had a great brain, so I wanted to see what a day looked like without Tom having a brain.
Why don't you explain the United Way process, how that works?
How the United Way works? Well, the United Way sets a goal every year to raise funds, and if we reach that goal, we always entice someone to commit at the beginning of that period of time to something seemingly humiliating that they will do at the end of that period of time. Mayor, I think you had to kiss a pig one year. Tom dressed up as somebody from The Wizard of Oz. I believe it was the Scarecrow. Mr. Giles, I understand, I just heard comments that he had great legs. He was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And who knows? One year, the whole council had to dress up like in hick clothes and you blow kazoos or something. And I had a woman who came up to me later and said that she had felt embarrassed when she saw me there until she found out I was going to be participating in it. She thought that we had a member of the city council who had no clue how to dress in public, and it was. but you do all of these things to raise money for a good cause in Mesa. The United Way funds agencies that help people in Mesa, and there's a great process that we go through of community residents who evaluate the agencies and whether or not they're performing up to the standards that need to be performed to. So I really appreciate Mayor, you, Mr. Rawls, everyone else who participated in it. You are good sports. Thank you so much. That wasn't my comment, though.
Yeah, let me just follow in on that just real quickly. Although I missed that meeting, I had a conference out of town. They did a videotape of it. But what this council and the employees believe in is that, you know, the human services that are not being funded by this council, that pressure has been shifted over to the community, and the United Way is one of those organizations that's responded. And I think this council shows its support by, in any manner we can, to have private contributions coming forward to pick up some vital activities. So, good.
Thank you, Mayor. That's a great point. And people, if they want to help donate, the campaign is not over. They can still donate. They can call Mesa United Way or contact Mesa United Way at mesaunitedway.org, I think, is the website. I was just going to report on the fact that I went on a tour this morning with the people from Police, that's PULICE, Construction, who are building two segments of the freeway, the one that goes, well, they've built many segments, but they're currently constructing two segments of the 202 that are in Mesa. I got to see the part below University that is coming very close to being done. I think it'll open in July, and that's pretty darn exciting. For those people who have struggled up and down Power Road, I think they're going to be relieved. The second piece of it is north of University, and I saw the part that they've been working on. We've had Brown Road closed up in Rex's district, and the amount of work that they have done in 4 months is absolutely astonishing, and they are on track to reopen when they said they were going to. It's really remarkable, all the things that they're doing, and they didn't terrify me too much as we're driving down the sides of things, and I got to see all the technology and all the things that they're doing. They really are, it's an amazing process, and Mayor, I don't know if you've gone out there, but I thought, well, the Mayor would really like this a lot. Lots of white concrete and piano wires and stuff like that. It was good stuff, Mayor.
Big trucks driving over small things.
There you go. Thank you.
I,
I was gone on Thursday afternoon through Saturday to Everett, Washington for an Arizona or National League of Cities and Towns. I'm on the finance, vice chair of the finance subcommittee. And they actually talked about a value-added tax and the tax linkages between federal, state, and city. We have the tax deductibility of municipal bonds, the 2010 kind of imploding of the federal government if they don't make some changes. And with the assistance of Heidi Gass, my chief of staff, we submitted some resolutions for adoption, and those were very favorably received. So we'll see if it works its way up through the chain of command with National League of Cities. So, I mean, Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. And quickly, while you were gone, you had me fill in on your position on the board for Valley Metro. The one issue that we were concerned with is Mesa still operates a bus service center, if you will, and Scottsdale and Tempe have one, but that is paid for by the region. And we were hoping to sell our portion to the region, and thanks to Jim Euling and Jeff Martin, that passed unanimously. So good work by all.
I think a side comment, if it hadn't been sold, we would have leased it back to the region for more than it would have cost to buy it. But that was backup plan two, so I'm glad that they saw the wisdom of acquiring it. And I appreciate you filling in for me on that one. Anyone else? Vice Mayor.
May I ask a question on that, Mayor? Did that that money came out of quality of life? Does it get it? And does it go back into quality of life? Okay, thank you.
Right, some of it was federal, which is not reimbursable. That's a regional one, but yeah. $8 million? $11 million? Nine in between. Should I average the two?
Nine.
It's just around $9 million, if I recall, Mayor.
Okay. And the whole idea of doing that is to work towards a regional transportation body so that it's seamless between cities, because a lot of residents don't understand that there's a difference, and you hate to drop somebody off. So this maintenance and vehicle facility works into that regional plan, and I hope we eventually get there. So, Vice Mayor.
Going back to our previous discussion then, the possibility is for quality of life actually had on the ballot. Bus service was a piece of what was going to be funded from that. So that is a possibility for where that one-time dollar can come from, or one-time set of dollars can come from for that bus thing. Chris,
Mayor,
you keep looking at them. They don't want
to
talk.
Before we go too much further the discussion, I think we need to post this discussion, a quality of life update. We can do that.
Okay, but
if the city attorney will let us do that, we'll be glad to go back to that discussion. Because there is some anticipation of how those dollars would have been spent in quality of life fund, too. So, okay.
Thank you.
We can give you a briefing on that.
Right. Councilmember Summers, thank you for your update on buses and attending the meeting. Next item then would be scheduling and meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Also want to acknowledge that the City of Mesa employees were also recognized at the United Way luncheon for their contributions to United Way, that they have increased that fairly significantly over the last year or so. I think that is a great contribution by our employees who are stepping up also to help out in this community. Mm-hmm. Cracker Barrel opened and had breakfast there last week as invited. It's very good. Be gone. We'll have study sessions on May 24th.
Is that the Cracker Barrel over at Riverview?
Yes, yeah, Cracker Barrel at Riverview, sorry. Very well situated over there. A lot of openings taking place over there. We have study sessions May 24th, May 31st. We have our June 4th Transportation and Infrastructure Committee meeting at 3, and then we'll have our regular council meeting following that. And just also a reminder again that the second council meeting in June will be June 25th, study session and council meeting. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Item number 5 is pre-scheduled. I do have two. Richard Knox, followed by Mark Felice. Richard, you have 3 minutes, and we appreciate you sending out your information in advance, too.
Okay. Thank you. I brought some handouts.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Knox. I'm a citizen of City of Mesa. Appreciate the time. The information that you're receiving is information that I have been educating myself on for the last 5 to 7 years. I usually give that the presentation that you have behind the yellow sheet in a 45-minute time frame, so I'm not going to attempt to do that tonight. The yellow sheet of paper I distributed in my own neighborhood to about 1,500 residents. The issue at hand and the reason why I'm here today is to speak briefly on a concept known as peak oil. Peak oil is a geologic phenomenon. In 1956, a shell geologist named Merriam King Hubert predicted that in 1970, the lower 48 states would peak in oil production, and in fact, in 1971, in September, the lower 48 states did peak in oil production and has been in a steady decline. He made a second prediction, and the second prediction was that in the first decade of the 21st century, global oil production would peak. And the Energy Information Agency, as well as the International Energy Agency in France, have estimated that in May of 2005, for all liquid fuels, we're on a plateau now of around 74 to 75 million barrels of liquid oil produced a day. So what does this mean for the city of Mesa? There's a national movement of cities and counties localizing, coming together to speak about this issue. The issue ties directly with the conversation that you folks had previous today on the agenda related to Dial-A-Ride. It's no mystery that today, in inflation-based dollars, the price of gas has exceeded the all-time record set in 1981. There are expectations that this summer there will be gas rationing, and we may in fact see $4, $5 gasoline. The gas supplies are very low coming into the driving season, and there's a slide at the back end of that presentation that recommends suggestions on how we can begin this conversation, and that's why I'm here today.
Okay. Appreciate you coming forward. Mark? Felice?
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, City Council members, I want to first of all thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to you on behalf of the National Federation of the Blind, East Valley Chapter, and on the state level. Just wanted to say a quick thing about what NFB is willing to do at this point. We certainly respect the challenges you have had in making your decisions, and we know the problems that exist in the Dial-A-Ride system. Therefore, I can guarantee that the members of the National Federation of the Blind want to and are more than willing to sit on any committees that you call us upon to hash it out and troubleshoot and see what we can do to make the system better. We do recognize, of course, that there are users of the system who probably should not be. We know that. We know that to be true. I can sit here and say I am not one of them. I make a choice not to use Dial-A-Ride. I can get a doctor to sign because I'm blind to jump on the system. I have made the conscious choice not to do so. I know that other people will do that as well. Other disability populations can do that. So we are here to say, as NFB, we are more than willing to work with all of you in fixing the system as time comes along. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you, Mark. That is the last item for the study session, so entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned. We'll reconvene upstairs in 10 minutes.